So I work for this paper in the Flathead, the Daily Interlake. My name's Catherine Houghton, and I'm reading the paper one day and I see this ad for a group meeting. It offered tea and cookies, which I'm into, and a chance to meet people. People who want to sit around and talk about death.
Because death happens to all of us, and it's all around, and it's part of the cycle of life, but we do a phenomenal job of denying it.
That's Nancy Reese Jones, who's led Death Cafe in Kalispell since 2013.
Death Cafe is it's a concept that was started by a guy named John Underwood in London in 2011. And he and his mom, who's a psychiatrist or psychologist, can't remember, but they started having groups of people into their house to talk about death.
The groups kept getting bigger and bigger, and eventually people wanted to know how to host their own. So Underwood posted online the Death Cafe model, how to find people, tips for getting them together, how to start and continue talking about death and dying, how to let people know the group exists. And it exploded from there.
They are all over the world. I mean, it's amazing. I just went on the site today, and just within this week, there's Brazil, there's London, there's I believe Nova Scotia, there's Alberta, Canada, there's Tucson, all over the states. Literally, wherever somebody like myself goes online and goes, "Oh wow, I want to do this," and is willing to go through the few steps you have to do, they've got them.
Underwood's website, deathcafe.com, says there are now almost 5,000 of these groups worldwide, but only two in Montana. The other one meets intermittently in Billings. What they do is pretty much open to interpretation, but Nancy says there are a couple of rules.
One is he wants you to serve tea and cake because he wants this to be a light environment, you know, refreshments and, you know, not the heaviness. This is not a morbid thing that he's wanting to do. It's just to encourage people to talk about what's going to happen to all of us.
The second rule is no experts.
He doesn't want you to have films or bring in experts from funeral parlors or whatever.
Number three, this is not a grief group.
They're able to sit there and say, you know, I'm really terrified of dying and I'm really angry at death. You know, I'm really angry because I've lost these people. And so, you know, it can get emotional and that people really are sharing from their hearts. And yet it is not, we are not there to help them move through their grief as much as just to acknowledge.
The last rule is that the meetings have to be held regularly and they have to be open to anyone who wants to come.
I hold mine once a month. People sometimes do it once every 6 months. I have mine for 2 hours. I think that's probably a usual time.
Nancy's fascination with death starts with her mom. She died in 1987 of colon cancer. Nancy was just 33.
I got to experience the sort of the elegance of her death, even though she whittled away to absolutely nothing with the cancer. There was a grace about how she handled her death and a dignity that I learned a great deal from.
But there was also a lot unsaid. There were a lot of practical matters that they took care of instead. When it became clear that Nancy's mom wasn't going to survive, the kids met to divvy up mom's stuff.
She was always a very reserved person, and she never talked about death. And I was so eager. I just wanted to be able to talk to her about death. There were two things that she wanted to make sure that her children, the four of us, would divide up when she was there. And that was the children's books she'd had when she was a child and the silver, the family silver. So we literally sat on the floor around her bed. We were in our 20s and 30s and divided these things up. And she was so happy with that.
They rotated turns sitting with her mom. Nancy happened to be with her when she finally died a little after midnight.
I was there with her and holding her hand when she died, which is an amazing experience. A lot of people would just sort of be appalled. You know, that's a very frightening concept for many people, but I have talked to so many of my friends who have had that experience, and they, like me, say it's one of the most amazing things that's ever happened to them, because it is such an honor, really, to be with someone. It's like being at a birth, really.
But even though Nancy and her siblings went through this together, they somehow did it without talking about what was happening, what was going to happen. That still bugs Nancy.
But that's the way actually most people die, I found out. The inability to actually talk about it even within the family, is I don't think that's changed a lot. And I think Death Cafe is one of those things that hopefully we are helping people to be able to have these conversations.
So I went to Death Cafe with my former roommate, Nikki Ouellette. She's a Montana Public Radio gal.
We're in the back of a coffee house in Whitefish. People are making tea, chatting, catching up. One guy happens to be carrying a book he wrote about his dead dog.
Interesting, there are all kinds of strange groups in the valley, you know, who look at different subjects, and it's just a question of bringing them out and what you.
That's William Brooks of Kalispell.
I think any kind of conversation, any kind of exchange, any kind of communication helps us to learn something. You know, what it exactly is becomes clearer much later. You know, you go through the experience of people and. It doesn't click right away.
William's dog, Sevius, which means know the ways, died in 2009. Here's a bit of the foreword from his book.
Why did I write my book, Then There Was a Dog? Death and love both contain fear of losing power. Blinding and enlightening, it drives us through life with various results. Sevius, my dog, made me confront both. For 10 years, his life was a never-ending demonstration of joy, loyalty, preparedness, attention, gratitude, sharing, and expression of beauty and skill. His last hour... Here, read it.
His last hour, dying from a twisted stomach, was filled with pain, confusion, shivers, and sounds heralding the presence of death. A last look into his eyes, knowing that 5 minutes later, life...
Tears are not usual at Death Cafe. In fact, it feels a little more like book club. Nancy says she sets these meetings up kind of like AA. She starts with everyone introducing themselves and sharing what's been on their mind this past month about death and dying.
My name is Tracy, and this is maybe my fifth or sixth Death Cafe.
My name's Lynn, and we're four-year residents of Whitefish. Moved here because of grandchildren.
My name is Kim, and I work at the Montana Vets Home as a nurse.
What?
Montana Vets Home in Columbia Falls. I'm a nurse.
My life is about more than my work, and yet life is also about death. And so this is an opportunity for me to just sort of sit in the presence of those who are talking about it authentically. And I really appreciate that.
My only sibling died in a tragedy when I was 24. And that has been sort of the worst thing that ever happened to me and the best.
Decided to stop dialysis.
There's a good way to enter a room when someone is there actively dying.
I stayed with her the whole time. And gave her the morphine and the Ativan.
What you are offering, of course, is your love and support.
But the whole time I'm going through her clothes, I'm talking to her. And it's just been so interesting. And like, oh, Doris, I didn't know that you had... What a lovely sweater that is, you know? And now I'm learning more about her just through her clothing.
At Death Cafe, people talk about the most intimate, emotional moments of their lives in the same matter-of-fact way you'd talk someone through changing a tire. In a lot of ways, it's a manual for the practical aspects of the end of life. Take, for example, Nancy Rose, who has a very real fear of dying.
As people are dying, they have, it seems to me, they have less and less breath.
Yes.
And I'm very claustrophobic, so I thought, well, how on earth do I do that? How do I die and adjust to not having too much breath? And I'm thinking, is it all right to talk about this?
Yes, absolutely. That was my big sigh was, I hear what you're saying. And that struggle with breath is yeah. Scary shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And how do you not panic or be afraid or be angry or be anything other than how do you be present and say it?
Yeah.
I know I am loved, and I am looking forward to my reception committee and whatever is next, but this particular moment, and how long is it going to go on, and how long do I keep practicing, will I consciously be able to practice my breathing?
It's kind of shocking how frank the discussion is, but that's the point. People who go to Death Cafe are actively trying to shatter the taboo our culture's created about death and dying.
We catch Max and Eva Maxwell as the meeting breaks up and people start stacking chairs. You can hear some of those conversations in the background. Eva and Max have been coming to Death Cafe since Nancy Reese Jones started it a few years ago, and it's led Eva to see the barrier of death a bit differently.
If you miss on somebody and they die before you get to talk to them, you can still talk to them afterwards and change that relationship, because I've experienced that, because I had some, like I had some issues with my mother, and after she died, I've just kind of talked to her in my head, and I've gone back and look at the card she sent me and stuff, and I love her more now than I did when she was alive, because I understand more. Oh, people come to this with such guilt sometimes because they didn't do the right thing at the end, but I just think you can transform that.
Nancy describes Death Cafe as a chance to talk about what makes a good death. For Eva, it's thinking that if Max goes first, she'll have a few final hours with his body, alone, at home, so she can wash him. For Nancy, it's looking outside her window to the field below, surrounded by the people who just get it, her need to die what she calls a spiritually conscious death. And it's music.
Classical music. I just love, I love Beethoven. And then there's a huge amount of other, much more contemporary music that is just so, deeply moving and quiet and powerful. So I'd say, and some Beatles thrown in there too. I could listen to Beatles forever.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken.
But definitely not hard metal or whatever. That's not me.
You were only waiting for this moment to be free.
Usually when you bring up death in a cocktail party situation, the conversation stops and everybody moves to the other side of the room. I found out, because when I tell people that I've been involved in this Death Cafe concept, I have one of two reactions. Most people's reactions are sort of to recoil and say, oh my God, that is too weird. And other people are really interested. Well, what does that involve?
Curiosity, I think, is the baseline.
Yeah, an openness to it. A willingness to own that final moment.
Into the light of a dark black night.
For Last Best Stories, I'm Nikki Ouellette.
And I'm Catherine Houghton.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
What are you singing? Let's talk about death, baby.
Let's talk about
death. You and me. You probably shouldn't do that.
Probably not.